Hey, Lizzo, before we get started with the episode, pick a card, any card.
Okay, I'm going to take this one on top, a confidence card. And it says, oh my gosh, I like this. I am powerful with the image and illustration of a Great Dane. I am my own damn hero. I wake up and breathe in awesomeness. I am an energetic powerhouse and can achieve anything I put my mind to. Step out of my way. Greatness is coming through. Now you.
I am confident. I am assertive and self-assured. There's no room for self-doubt in this gorgeous temple of mine. I move forward with a commanding force, my shoulders back, my head up, and with a cheeky smile. We just pulled our daily affirmation cards from the Calm Confident Leadership affirmation card deck. It's a great resource to help you get in the right frame of mind, the right mindset for the day, and carry that thought with you all day long.
Pick yours up today at doghouse.ca. Now on to the podcast. We had two street dogs who were eating junk before we got them. So we were trying to catch up and feed them really, really good healthy stuff the rest of their life so that we could keep them living healthy and strong for longer. Once I found out more about raw, it just made sense to me. Hi there and welcome back to Honest to Dog Podcast. It's me, Liz, your favorite dog trainer, here with Jeff Gadway, my lovely co-host and interviewer extraordinaire.
Why, thank you, Liz. It's great to be back.
Maybe I should give you a new title every time I introduce you.
I like that idea. Okay. I like that idea. I'm excited to be here today talking to you about this topic because it's one that's been on our list for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to tackle it.
I know.
The one about raw food.
It's a big one.
It is a big one.
There's a lot to cover.
Yeah, and we have been a little bit avoidant of it, to be honest, because we know it's a contentious topic, and we also recognize that we're not vets.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a vet. I'm not a vet. Are you a vet? Did you get...
No.
I didn't get vet certified. No. So we want to disclose upfront, we're not medical professionals, so we're really only speaking from our experience on this topic. But we wanted to tackle it because one of the questions we get all the time from listeners in our DMs is... what do you feed your dogs? And so we want to share what our feeding journey has been like over the last several years with all of our dogs.
Yeah, I love it.
Perhaps by the title of this episode, no spoilers, but we feed our dogs raw. But we didn't always, did we? So can you talk about what we fed Carmen when we first got her and maybe the journey towards raw food?
When I first got her, I was really trying to be healthy for her. And so I got her what I considered... what was known then as one of like the high brand kibbles. And it was, I believe, a Canna. And I brought it home and I was so proud when I had her and I offered it to her and she totally turned her nose up at it.
And you thought she was going to love it because she was a street dog, right?
I know.
So you're like going from scraps to high end kibble. Like this is going to be a step up for her.
Mm-hmm. And no, she really wouldn't have anything of it. And so kind of in a pinch out of necessity, I went from one extreme to the other where I got the gross canned dog food. It's wet and yeah, it looks like a microwave dinner really. And she gobbled that right up. And I was like, okay, well, at least she's eating. So I'll keep her on this for a bit. And just the more I was feeding her that, I just wasn't feeling good about it. I was... you know, trying to eat healthily myself. And here I felt like I was giving her McDonald's every day. And so I wanted to feed her something better because she was young too. And I wanted Carmen to live forever. This was my first dog at 25 and I was obsessed. I would do anything for this dog. And so I started to research and educate myself and ask other dog owners, what do you feed? What do you feed? And yeah, anyone who I would ask, typically, like I remember this, they always had like the most beautiful dogs, the most well-behaved dogs. They always fed raw. And I was just like, okay, I'm gonna find out more about this. Although it scares me, I might have even been vegetarian at the time. I don't know. I don't think I was. That was 1 year. That just happened. But once I found out more about raw, it just made sense to me. It just clicked. I was just like, obviously... dogs in the wild or dogs way, way back before they were domesticated even, they ate raw meat. They're scavengers and they hunt. And for them to eat raw meat isn't comparable to us eating raw meat. I started feeding Carmen raw. I'm like, this is really healthy. Is she going to like it? Oh my God, she loved it.
Yeah.
and that's all we've ever fed, Baker and Ty, and they love it too.
Well, that's great. And you touch on an important topic there, that it's natural, it's instinctual to dogs. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when you look at kibbles, you know, you see that they have rice in that or grains or stuff like that. Yeah. And, you know, dogs don't eat kind of simple carbohydrates by nature, or they don't eat veg in the wild. I guess they do, like if they're feeding on other animals in the wild, there might be like vegetables in those animal systems or something like that as a mm-hmm. as a result. But it's not like they go and you know, eat broccoli in the fields, yeah, right? They're carnivores. And so feeding our dogs raw is kind of honoring their instinctual mm-hmm. characteristics. Mm-hmm. Now, as a dog trainer, I've heard you talk about kind of the overlap between the food that you feed your dog and some of the behavioral outcomes that you see in dogs. Can you kind of unpack that a little bit and talk about how that connects to raw food?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense to me because I myself even have some food intolerances or sensitivities, gluten being one of them, corn being the other. And if I eat one of them, I can feel a change in my body like immediately. And if my stomach hurts, I'm going to be really, really grumpy and grouchy.
She's bothered.
Yeah. And so I've seen it where there are dogs who they change their diet and their temperament improves. And it's largely because they just feel better. I've known dogs who seem like they're constantly itchy, like their skin is crawling because of what they eat. It has that effect on their body. Chronic ear infections is another sign of an intolerance to a food. And so if you always had an earache or your skin was itchy constantly, that is seriously irritating. So how would you not behave a certain way if someone touched you? Like, you'd just be on edge. So those dogs behave in a certain way largely just because they're constantly uncomfortable in their own skin. So if we can treat that, then a lot of the time the dog starts feeling better, starts behaving better, makes training easier because the dog isn't frustrated, annoyed, or uncomfortable, makes everybody just more at ease.
Yeah, it's really fascinating when I've seen you do privates or consultations, when somebody is describing a behavioral problem and you ask them, okay, tell me about your dog's diet. Like, it seems like they're not connected, but mm-hmm. as you just described, it actually could be a trigger, because, you know, if a dog is malnourished or is having an issue, and, you know, that's the core problem, and, you know, maybe the behavior is more kind of a byproduct of mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really fascinating. So besides behavioral issues, let's talk about some of the other benefits that we've seen personally when it comes to raw, or maybe that you've heard from some of your clients, because you do sell raw at the doghouse mm-hmm. and you've been doing that for many, many years. You've mm-hmm. done like raw seminars and workshops yeah. and stuff like that. So you've had a lot of clients who have histories feeding raw or have transitioned over to raw. And I'd love to hear about some of the other positive impacts that they've reported or shared with you over the years.
Mm-hmm. One of the benefits that you see right away is smaller poops. So because there's so much nutrients in the food that you're giving your dog, they absorb pretty much all of it. And so very little comes out the other end. There's a huge difference between, literally huge, dogs who eat kibble. I can tell, it's disgusting, but I can tell from their poop if they eat raw or if they eat kibble,
right?
Because there's such a difference. Kibble tends to be softer, stinkier, and way bigger. And then if they eat raw, it's smaller, it's firm, and almost, dare I say, odorless.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost. So that's one right away. And that's proof in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because you know your dog is getting good food. It's not literally crapping out crap.
Yeah.
Can I say that? I just did. Another one is improved skin and coat. So like I had mentioned about allergies, if that was bothering them in their previous diet, if we eliminate that ingredient, they might not have that irritation. So their skin and coat will not only feel better, it will look better. You can see a shinier coat on a dog who eats raw, for sure. Another one is improved breath and overall oral health. And oral health is so important because it actually helps dogs live longer. So that one was really important because especially we had two street dogs who were eating junk before we got them. So we were trying to catch up and feed them really, really good, healthy stuff the rest of their life so that we could keep them living healthy and strong for longer. On that note, I should say Big Country Raw, who we use for our raw feeding the kids. I learned from the owner. She came and did a seminar for myself and my staff like 8 years ago, longer than that, I think. And she said that she feeds her puppies raw. She's also a breeder, and she feeds the puppies raw right away from the very beginning. And Berners, she breeds Bernese Mountain Dogs, don't have a very long lifespan in general. It can be like 8 to 10 years. And she was finding that the clients who bought the puppies home and continued to feed raw, their puppies were living longer lives than those who didn't. They were living for 10 to 12 years instead. Wow. So I was like, say no more. I will buy all the time I can with my dogs.
This is not a guarantee that your dog will live longer if you switch to raw. But if, you know, there is any hope that that could be the case, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nutrients. Does the body good.
Totally. Totally. What about staying lean? I think we've talked before about just how important it is to keep your dog in the right weight range, because even just a couple of extra pounds could add more stress and strain to their limbs, to their joints. And so what has your experience been in terms of weight control and the food that you feed your dog?
It's so easy because you know you're feeding healthy food to your dog. There is nothing added. There is no extra salt or sugar, preservatives, anything that isn't needed to be there isn't there. So it's just, I mean, limited ingredients. So you can see on the box itself. And so it's easy to keep an eye on something like that. I mean, many clients have scales in their kitchen where they even weigh out the portions. So you're being really, really conscientious of how much your dog is eating. Plus with raw, you have to put it down when it's fresh. There is no just like leaving it out for a dog to graze. If your dog grazes, those tend to be the dogs that gain more weight without other people knowing, because you're just topping up the bowl as needed.
It's kind of like me. If I graze.
Yeah. You're not conscious of how much, just how much you've given the dog. So not as much turns to fat. Also, they're not eating more than they need to. So it's really easy for staying lean.
So lots of reasons why raw might be worth considering. When a client comes to you and says, hey, Liz, I'd love to give raw a try, or I'd love to transition over to raw, what are some of the tips that you give them for making that transition or making the switch?
So unlike if you were to switch from one kibble to another, you're not going to make it like a gradual transition. What I recommend is fasting your dog like you normally would between meals. So just stop feeding for 12 hours. So their next meal would be on an empty stomach where the kibble's already processed through, and then they get the raw food. That's going to ensure two things. One, that they're hungry and should want it, and just that hunger kick in and of itself, they'll be more enticed to eat it. And then two, kibble and raw food digest at two different rates. And so you don't want to overlap them in the stomach. So just start on a fresh, empty stomach.
Yeah, and you touched on this briefly, but you mentioned waiting 12 hours. And that's because you've said before, and that's because kibble takes 12 hours to digest in...
I think it's eight. I think it takes about upwards of 8 hours to digest. So we're just giving it a little extra time, where typically raw is digested in 3 to 4 hours. So it's very different in how the body processes it. It doesn't take as much effort to break it down because it's natural, versus kibble is very unnatural.
Perfect. So that's how to make the transition over kind of logistically. What about in terms of where to start? Like if you're trying to pick a raw food, or, you know, I know there are very different delivery mechanisms. Like over the years, we've bought, you know, raw that's already pre-portioned into 1 pound packages or 3 pound packages. We've also, when we've been traveling, used dehydrated raw before. Tim uses pucks. So any thoughts on different kind of packaging or delivery mechanisms, or are those kind of all the same in your mind?
I don't really know the answer to that question, if I'm being totally honest. We've done dehydrated out of necessity, like camping or something where you don't even have the option to refrigerate something, then that makes sense. But for me, it's just the fresher, the better, in my opinion. So why rehydrate it when I can get the real thing? No tea, no shade, Tim, but if I can feed them raw, then I'm just going to go that route.
Yeah. What about different combinations of raw? Like, I know at the doghouse, you serve pure meats as well as
dinners and blends.
Yeah. So can you maybe talk about the differences between those and when people should consider one or where to start? Because I know that, you know, some dogs do have allergies to different kinds of
proteins. It depends on the dog. If your dog has a great stomach, hasn't had any issue with anything, no ear infections, no constant itching or chewing at their paws, you could probably start with chicken or turkey, something basic, either pure or dinner. I would keep to one protein. I wouldn't do a blend. Blends, at least with Big Country Raw, that takes two different proteins. Read the ingredients and make sure if you do need to keep to a very limited diet because your dog does have allergies or sensitivities, stick to a pure and stick to one protein for a minimum of 2 weeks. So we want to make sure that that in and of itself can be controlled so that we can eliminate anything else that could be a possible allergy for a dog who does have sensitivities. And when we're doing an elimination diet, it's really important to eliminate treats too, because some treats have multiple ingredients. So I'm really particular about what treats I give the dogs, because if I'm spending good money on raw food and feeding them intentionally, I don't want to undo that with a ton of cookies on the side that are just hot garbage to their body. Keeping things like that in mind. I also wouldn't add supplements right away if you're trying to figure out an allergy, because some supplements will have fish. So omega-3s a lot of the time is like salmon oil or herring oil. That could be something that could affect the dog too. Some dogs have fish allergies. Be really mindful about what you're feeding your dog if you're eliminating an allergy. It's always recommended to start with a bird or white meat for your dog. Then you can move to an add. You should have some sort of red meat. So don't start with beef or lamb if you can avoid it. You could add that on later.
Now, you mentioned pure versus dinners. Can you talk about the distinction between those two?
Yes, good question. Pure is just the protein, whereas dinner is with fruit and veg added. So that's really the only difference.
And is there a reason why you might choose one or the other?
Really, if it's about allergies, make it as limited ingredient as possible. So like duck, pure duck or pure lamb versus a dinner would be mixed with fruit and veg and the protein in there. So that would be a great one for maybe a puppy or an adult dog where you want that extra nutrients, because if you're not giving it to your dog at some point, you need to supplement it in another way.
So you talked about maybe not adding supplements right away if you're doing an elimination diet, you're trying to pinpoint allergies or anything like that. However, I have heard you say before, and I know in our household, we do add some supplements to the raw to add additional nutritional value. So what are some of the supplements that we use with our boys, and why have we chosen to add them?
The one essential one that you absolutely have to have is omega-3s in your dog's diet. And so that can be in the form of fish oil, sardines, or egg. Sometimes we crack an egg on the dog's raw food when we're feeling fancy, or a quail egg maybe to spice it up. But we also add two additional supplements in our home. We do a trimineral blend. It's really important. This one I would absolutely recommend if you're just feeding pure, because there are essential minerals that your dog won't be getting through the veg and fruit. Like I said, especially if they're doing just pure for their dogs, is Trimineral Boost. And this one is Thrive Through, also Big Country Raw. And I like it because the ingredients are kelp, which is important to their diet, barley grass, and spirulina. And just those three ingredients are going to give your dog kind of that, make sure that they're absorbing the nutrients in the raw food with this. I will say this tends to be, now don't quote me on it, but if your dog eats raw, but you find that your dog also eats poop, either their own poop or another dog's poop, either at dog parks or anything like that, I recommend adding this trimineral something with minerals to your dog's diet, because a lot of the times they do that because they're missing something in their diet, and this tends to be the solution. Unfortunately, though, some dogs, once they try eating poop, really love it, and then you're kind of screwed.
We also add something else. And we started adding this Triacta with Carmen because of her three-leggedness and wanting to make sure that we were helping her kind of joints and
mobility.
So what's that other product?
This one is glucosamine and chondroitin. So glucosamine and chondroitin are really good for lubricating the joints and dealing with inflammation. So really important for a dog who might be compromised either with hip dysplasia or in a wheelchair, or like Carmen missing a limb, that they're putting extra pressure on certain joints. And so they need a little extra TLC. And so we were giving her the maximum strength, which includes hyaluronic acid. And that one can help with a little bit pain relief and inflammation. So a natural way to help your dog stay strong in their bones and feel good, right? And so, like, we started noticing as Carmen got older, on rainy days, she didn't really want to go on her walks or be outside much. And we're like, okay, well, maybe she's a little sore. So there were times that I'd double up on this. And we introduced this actually after her knee surgery, or when she was about to have a knee surgery, because she didn't need it after all, because I learned about this amazing product with a gentleman from the company who said he took it and mixed it into his own protein shakes when he had a pretty busted knee.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, not recommended for humans.
So this might sound like a lot, and we don't mean to overwhelm you if you're listening at home and you're trying to follow along with all of these ingredients. So let's just put all the pieces together. We feed our dogs twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. Mm-hmm. We split their feeding right down the middle in terms of quantity. Mm-hmm. We always feed after a walk, as we've talked about before. And usually in the morning is when we add all their supplements. So we give them their half of their meal for the day, and we add the herring oil, the maximum strength glucosamine and chondroitin for the joints, and the trimineral or sea kelp for the additional nutrients. And we just add those supplements in the morning. And then the evening meal is just the straight up raw food, whatever we're feeding at that time. Mm-hmm. So it's actually pretty simple. And like, it doesn't take very long to prepare. It doesn't take, you know, much more than a minute or two. So it's not much longer than if we were scooping out kibble, and the dogs love it, and they get a lot of you know, nutritional value from it. And it makes us feel good knowing that we are providing the best that we possibly can for the pups.
Mm-hmm. Like, we have the 1 pound packets. And so if I open one in the fridge, that's my cue. I take out the next one for the dogs, let it thaw in the fridge for over the course of a day, and then it's ready by the next day. So it's really not that hard to kind of stay on top of and on track of. And if you have enough room in your freezer for it, I mean, we don't even have an extra freezer. I know people who do. They keep all the raw on hand. It's not that hard. If I can do it.
So before we go, let's bust a couple of myths as it relates to raw. So I think the first myth that people often hold is that raw is going to be prohibitively expensive compared to whatever they're feeding their dog. Can you talk a little bit about how you address that objection when people bring it up?
Mm-hmm. And this is, again, why I like Big Country Raw. They have a calculator on their website where you can put in your dog's weight, whether or not they need to gain or lose weight, or if they're ideal, and then what that price point is going to look like for you per day. There are also ways to make raw in even more affordable and less expensive. You can do real meal replacement bones, which are really inexpensive, and that's a way to extend your dollar. The other thing that I like to point out is that if you could be cutting the cost of vet visits for ear infection visits or itchy skin or infected paws, all of those things, with feeding a better food, even if it is a little bit more pricey, you're saving $80 a month with that visit or the potential cream or ointment that's needed or medication. So there's give and take. Lastly, you kind of don't know unless you try. You might think it's more expensive than it is, but there are some kibbles out there that are extremely expensive. And they're the ones especially that come from the vet that are specialized to help your dog, especially if it has a sensitivity or something. Try raw instead. Try going the natural route, but educate yourself first, and you just have to make a decision that makes you feel good. That would be my advice.
Perfect. So second misconception is, I can't give my dog raw food, they're going to get salmonella.
Yeah, if a human can't eat raw meat, that would happen to us. But dogs aren't the same as humans. They actually have different anatomy than us. Because dogs were actually designed to eat raw meat, their body is prepared to handle it. So in their mouth, there is an enzyme that kills bacteria on contact, or that's its job. When the body is digesting whatever goes through it, their digestive tract is much shorter than ours, so the bacteria cannot colonize. Very different in a human. We don't digest anything in under 3 hours like a dog can.
Perfect. And then the third one is, there's a perception that vets are against raw food. I think we hear that a lot. You know, like, my vet's trying to get me to buy what they sell at their vet clinic or their vet hospital, and so they're not endorsing raw. And mm-hmm. I know that comes up from time to time too.
Absolutely. And I get it. People trust their vet because that's someone they go to in emergencies. I think there are a few reasons why some vets aren't okay with raw. And I have met some vets who actually recommend it. There's skepticism around it because there isn't much education around it. In general, vets in school typically spend 2 weeks studying nutrition for dogs. It's not like they spent a year or two studying it. And I kind of wish there was more of that focus so that they could be healing within. The other thing is too, I think some vets see people come in with dogs who are malnutritioned or have broken bones because they've been trying to feed raw at home, but doing it themselves and in a sense, just like, I'm having chicken, I'll cut it in half, give him half of the raw chicken breast, but that's it. They're not getting the calcium they need from the bones. They're not getting the kelp or the fish oil, like all the things that make it a whole complete balanced meal. I'm sure they've seen some stuff that made them not agree with it, but then there's also the lack of education around nutrients for dogs in general. And I think there's also a little bit of an incentive to, of course, get you to buy from them.
Yeah, I didn't want to sound like a moon landing doubter or conspiracy theorist here, but you know, we are familiar that there are some incentives in place to encourage vets to sell products from particular companies. We've heard that in some vet schools, you know, the textbooks are brought to you by certain companies, and so, you know, there is some alignment around commercialization of certain products, right? And I mean, it's not to, again, sound shady, but I think the message here is it's really important for all of us as dog owners, and you've said this before, that it's our job to be advocates for our dogs.
And educate yourself.
It's on us to educate ourselves what's best for our lifestyle, what's best for our dogs, and to fight for those beliefs, regardless of what other people are saying.
Yeah. I mean, whatever you're feeding your dog right now, Google it and look up reviews and look up stats and look up if it's ever been recalled, all of that, and make really thoughtful decisions about what you feed your dog. Same for treats. I mean, we're really picky about what we feed our dogs in terms of treats because we don't want to spoil the diet, like I said. So we do dehydrated rabbit ears or chicken feed and things like that.
But it's all natural stuff without any preservatives or additives, or, you know, we're not giving the dogs, you know, your traditional milk bones or Beggin strips or mm-hmm. or some of those types of things.
Sometimes it's a carrot or a cucumber or a piece of banana. I think, yeah. and that's the thing too. We like just how their face lights up when they eat stuff like that. Like yeah. they really enjoy it versus some dry ass, salty.
Bleh. Salty.
Yeah. One thing too we didn't mention, but I want to point out, is that dogs on raw tend to drink a lot less water. And that's because the food in and of itself is hydrated. There is a considerable difference to the dogs that eat kibble. They gulp down water like nobody's business. And then they have to go to the washroom more frequently. Like, yeah. And I think that's largely due to the preservatives and salt.
Well, it makes sense. If you think about it, you know, if we ever indulge ourselves in, you know, McDonald's or something like that, you're always thirsty as anything.
Sometimes my fingers swell up.
Yeah, because like, it's the salt and stuff.
That's gross. It's sodium. And yeah. And my body's like, no.
Before we go, though, you know, we don't want to sound like we're disparaging you if you're not feeding your dog raw, or that you should be ashamed of yourself or something like that. Because, you know, we do feed our dogs kibble from time to time in a pinch, right? Like mm-hmm. we do have kind of like an emergency stash of small little sample bags. Tip, go to your local dog food store and ask for sample bags. They're like the perfect like one or two meal size.
Yeah, travel size.
For traveling, or if we go to Liz's mom's place and we don't have the ability to refrigerate raw or something like that, we'll take one of those little baggies, and it's great in a pinch. So it's not that we don't ever feed the dogs a high quality kibble. It's just we really try to be intentional about when we do it and on the whole feed them high quality raw food.
Mm-hmm. And our dogs don't have ear infections really, or itchy skin or irritability. Like they're happy. They don't really fart a lot either. Like they're good little companions on this good diet. Let's keep them on this for life.
Love it. We'd love to know what you feed your dogs. Have you considered raw food? Are you open to trying raw food? If you have any questions about raw, drop into our DMs. Let us know. Take a picture of your dog's food, like one of your dog's meals. Maybe like your dog with their bowl in the foreground, and just post it to Instagram and tag at Honest to Dog Podcast, and we'll, you know, normalize like discussions about dog feeding. I love it.
Hashtag what's in your bowl.
Hashtag what's in your bowl. Love it, Liz. Thanks for sharing, and thanks for sharing your journey with different foods and trying to find the optimum balance diet for our dogs.
Yeah, happy to share. And until next time, stay calm and assertive.
If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe button and leave us a comment or a review. We'd love to hear from you.
We release a new podcast weekly. Follow us on Instagram at Honest to Dog Podcast.
Honest to Dog Podcast is hosted by Liz Foley and Jeff Gadway. The show is engineered, edited, and produced by me, Timothy Musa. For all things training and daycare, check out doghouse.ca. doghaus.ca.